Tango Tango Papa 2092, December 22nd, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from home. So today is Wednesday the 22nd. I believe that's right. Let me check here. I think today's been Wednesday all day long. Yep, looking here on my phone. So it's actually warmer today. It's the high today is supposed to be 56, and actually it's supposed to be very warm. It's supposed to be 72 on Christmas Day, which is going to be pretty nice. And basically for the next 10 days, the temperature is going to go back down somewhat, but still not be bad. 55 really isn't bad. It's been sunny today, so. So early this morning, I got up and I had a dental cleaning appointment at 9:15 a.m. up in the Rogers, Arkansas office of one of the dentists that I go to. I alternate between two dentists as far as every 3 months I get my teeth cleaned. And so I think I'm going to be, from now on, instead of going to the Fayetteville location, which is actually closer to me, every 6 months, I'll go to the one up in Rogers, because I really liked the dental hygienist. She was very gentle. Some of them can be quite aggressive. This one was fairly gentle, and so as long as I can keep utilizing her, I will. The one that I had prior to this, you know, at this particular dentist company, because they've got more than one, they've got at least a couple of locations, one in Fayetteville and one up in Rogers. That woman, she was close to retirement age or very close to it, and whenever COVID came along, she decided that she was done, and she was close to retirement age anyway. She was just going to go ahead and retire, and so that's what she did. And, you know, this other one that I was in there the last time, 3 months, or was it would have been 6 months ago, actually, that had replaced her, I wasn't really all that impressed with her. She was a little bit more aggressive than what I would like. Came away with a bit of a sore mouth, and so I think I'll just, you know, it's a little few miles farther to drive, but it's not that big of a deal. We got a really nice freeway here in Northwest Arkansas that goes north and south, and so I'll just use that one from now on. And then, of course, I alternate back every 3 months now. Next time, 3 months from now, I'll be going to my original dentist, and he's up in Springdale. So, but anyway, I did the dental cleaning appointment, and then I ended up, it was about 10:15 whenever I got out of the dental appointment cleaning, so I stopped at the Rogers Best Buy store, and I ended up, you know, because I've kind of talked about this and I've gone back and forth. I ended up buying a 4 GB Western Digital MyCloud Home. And so with that, you know, the one that I had originally still works, or it is going to work, but not after January 15th. Western Digital is shutting that one down, and they're saying it's because of security concerns, which I can understand because I've had that one for several years, the original MyCloud. So on January 15th, they're going to shut that down. And then this MyCloud Home is going to be the one that sort of takes over. And so they only had 4 gigabyte drives. It comes in other sizes, but all they had was 4. And even the other day when I looked in the Fayetteville store, that's all they had was a 4 gigabyte. So in any case, I've got it. Right now, the thing I'm impressed with this is that it's actually quite fast. It's the other one was pretty slow. You know, it could be fairly slow. This one seems to be pretty quick. So I'm just kind of looking through this. Nope. Yeah. So anyway, it's right now. It asked me if I wanted to back up all the photos on the phone, and I said yes. And it seems to be moving things actually fairly quickly. So, whoops. What's this? Collecting photos from the cloud. Get started. I agree. Okay. So I can collect the photos from the cloud. What's the mess? Yeah. No, they're trying to... Nope. Let's get off of that. So... Yeah, so it's... Seems to be buzzing right along. And, so I'm kind of impressed with it. Because it's much faster than the other unit. So I would, the MyCloud, this new thing, this MyCloud Home, the original one was, even after I got the fiber internet, it just wasn't as quick. See, now right now it's saying, I don't know if you can read that or not. It's saying that it's backing up. It says 2632 left. See that little line there? And so it's been going for a little bit. So it's backing up files from the phone right now. And these are like photo and video files. And so this app and this combination seems more reliable, because the other one, like I say, even with the fiber internet, it was just slow as molasses. You know, you could, even when I was on the home network, it was slow. You'd open up the thing and it was going through their server, which their server may be the bottleneck, I don't know. But in any case, this new version uses a different app, and it seems to just zip right on past. So the old one, I'm probably, you know, I'll leave it plugged into my network, and it's just going to be a network-attached drive, and it's not, it's going, as of January 15th, it'll be losing any sort of external access. So, but I think it's 6 gigabytes, and so I can still... It's still very handy as a network attached drive. So it'll just remain a network attached drive after that point. So later this afternoon, about 4:30, I'm going to be leaving here and driving, or about 4 o'clock rather, I'm going to be leaving here and driving over and having supper with one of my aunts. So I haven't seen her for a while, so I'll go do that. And but otherwise, I've just, you know, kind of hanging out around the house here and, you know, doing what I'm doing. So in any case, I wanted to kind of talk more about the things I've been talking about lately. And... one of the things, you know, I've come to a much greater understanding just in the past few days, kind of doing a podcast every day, talking about the concept of salvation, what that is, and I really, really managed to kind of clarify that in my own mind. And it doesn't really matter whether, you know, someone that's really tied into the Bible agrees with it or not. That part, it doesn't matter. I've come to a better understanding. And this is my belief, but I believe that to be saved is really to be unified with your conscience. You know, how could it be otherwise? If you're not unified with your conscience, how could you be saved? I think the two things are, it's mutually exclusive. If you're at odds with your conscience, how can you be saved? You know, there are people that claim that God talks to them, and they hear audible voices, and sometimes they say they do, and sometimes they say they don't, and, you know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't doubt what people say, but, you know, you start hearing audible voices, you know, that kind of gets into the realm of schizophrenia, because schizophrenics actually hear voices that aren't there. They actually, you know, it actually kind of comes, and it's been proved that it comes through their auditory system in their brain. When they're hearing voices, that part of their brain actually lights up under like an fMRI scan or different types of scans. So they actually are hearing voices. Now, kind of think that's, you know, personally, I don't hear voices. But does God talk to you? Well, yes. But God really isn't what people think God is. I think God is very different from what our concepts are. And our concepts are driven by people that wrote about it. You know, they wrote, the Bible and other types of spiritual writing. And so then you have these entire things that grow up around religions, groups of people, corporations that have grown up around these writings. And, you know, the problem with words is that the words have to be interpreted. You know, now, let's say you're having a one-on-one conversation with a friend, you're still interpreting their words and you're interpreting their words. So it's still a matter of interpretation. So, you know, I think, so I'll go through it. You know, the idea of, you know, Jesus sending you a Holy Spirit, well, you can kind of think that, you know, maybe there is some sort of a spirit that comes along. I don't know about that, but maybe it's a spirit of, suddenly you're able to kind of change your, something's added to your consciousness and you're suddenly able to change your mind. And if you were, if you were to the point where you were asking Jesus for help, for example, then you probably already are in a state of mind where you're more open, you become open to the idea of really, if you think about it, of kind of making friends with your conscience, because that's really what it is. That's how God, and the other part, that is how God talks to us. You know, I was having a conversation earlier today with a friend at lunch, and, God is, you know, a lot of people are tripped up on the concept that, you know, there's this personal God, and, you know, and people tend to think of it, you know, as, you know, kind of a, you know, some kind of a giant robed figure sitting on a throne somewhere out in outer space or wherever it's at. Now, who knows? But whatever. But the way I think of God, and there obviously is a God. I mean, it's we wouldn't be here if we weren't put here. The odds of that happening are astronomical. You know, just the odds of do you think every ancestor that you ever had as an individual had to reproduce successfully? Now, what are the odds of just that? Of every ancestor that you ever had reproducing successfully. What are the odds of that? They're astronomical. So, you know, and there's myriad of other things that the odds of it happening are just astronomical. So, is there a person, you know, a God that's sitting on a throne somewhere sort of looking at each one of us? I don't know. Can't say that one way or the other. What I can say, however, is that virtually all of us have a conscience. And your conscience is more powerful than you think. Try defying it. See what you end up contorting into. The idea is, you know, when you're asking, kind of the Jesus to come into your heart or whatever, you're really asking what you really, if you think about it, what you're really looking for is to make friends with, sort of reunify with your conscience. And so in that sense, yes, that is very, your conscience is very personal. It is very intimate. And at the end of the day, that's the most intimate relationship you as a point of awareness have. As you can have your friends and you can have your relatives and what have you, but you can never, ever, ever be as intimate with any of those other people, no matter how closely related or how much they like you and you like them, you can never, ever be as intimate with anyone else as you can your conscience. So if you're tripped up by the word God, just substitute conscience, because that's the personal God that that you've been looking for. You know, and that, and if you can ever actually unify with that conscience, not run away from it, see it as an enemy, etc., etc., etc. Get rid of the resentment, because that's the resentment towards your parents, towards people, places, and things. Resentment is the thing that separates you from your conscience. You ask Jesus or whatever, or ask God to help you unify. If you want to pray a prayer, that should be the prayer, that you're able to unify with your conscience. Really sit still and allow your conscience to catch up with you. Don't run away from it. Because it's not there to punish you, make you feel, it's there to help you. Your conscience is always, it's always there to help you. So, you really need to make friends with conscience. You know, and the thing, And I was talking about this in one of the other podcasts. The thing about conscience is if you can actually unify with it, kind of become, then you're sort of the whole person that you were meant to be. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. That doesn't mean that life just turns into a bed of roses and, it's just all going to be easy. It's not it at all. It doesn't mean you don't have to work. It doesn't mean you have, etc. What it does mean, there's a line in the Bible, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And, the way to think about that, the way I think about it, let's say you've got resentment, which, everyone has had at some point. Most people have it, and they may or may not realize it. They may or may not be proud of what it turned them into, and they have pride parades. But if you have, got this resentment, it's separating you from who you could have been, and who you could have been is intimately tied up. The identity is intimately tied up with that, what you know of as a guilty conscience, because that conscience is a part of us that is sort of built in to kind of help us aim. And to sin means to miss the mark. So you miss the mark. You're missing the mark. It means that you're not aiming properly. Don't have the right aim. So your conscience is there to kind of help you with aim. But once you're separated from your conscience, and it's resentment, and then being proud of what resentment turns you into. You're separated from your conscience, then the problem is that you're guilty, and typically you become more and more guilty as time goes on. You're a guilty person, and so then you begin to look for distractions. You begin to look for other people to tell you that wrong is right and right is wrong, and so people set up entire organizations based around resentment. It could be labor unions are usually based around resentment. The fact that they have to work, they're all kind of mad, they're all worked up and mad because they have to work. Or the women's organizations, they're mad because they're female. They were born female, and somehow the males have it better than they do, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then you have, so you go down the list. There's all kinds of different groups that are formed based on, they're formed on an identity that's based around resentment. Being upset. Thinking somehow you got shortchanged. So, and that's an externalized identity because it requires the assistance of other people. It requires you to constantly have the upset be renewed, to constantly be upset. You have that, kind of keep the little squirrel cage of upset spinning so that it kind of keeps the identity going. Of course, it takes more and more upset to try to maintain that. And if the upset ever dies down, then the identity begins to go away. And if you still have resentment, then you begin to feel empty. And thus, people look for distractions so they don't have to realize, try to forget the fact that they're empty, devoid of any meaning, devoid of even an identity. And of course, if you're one of these externalized people, you resent and then you begin to absorb your environment, then that's a burden. You carry the greater the resentment that you have, the more separated you are from your conscience, the greater the burden you carry. That's a terrible burden to carry. You're living off of the wrong energy. And so if you can actually reunify with your conscience, then, like I say, the burden is easy and the yoke is very light. It's kind of a breeze to be able to go through existence without a burden, without the heavy burden of being an externalized person. So it really is a profound difference. Let's see here. So I made myself a few little notes. So really, unifying with your conscience makes existence not, it makes it bearable, but it goes beyond bearable. You can actually enjoy your existence. And at that point, you can actually begin to find meaning in your existence. And this also brings up another point. You know, Christians love to talk about, and it's in the Bible, you know, about being born again. Now, exactly what does that mean to be born again? What does that mean? And the thought struck me this morning. It means to be reunified with your conscience. So if you get rid of resentment, you're able to get rid of resentment, then and really get rid of it, if you're able to do that, then an interesting thing happens. You reunify with your conscience, and you're a completely kind of a different creature. And in a sense, that really is sort of like being born again, because it's possible to live in the world and even interact with the world, interact with other kind of dysfunctional, imperfect people, but not be forced into absorbing the toxicity. All who sin are slaves. If you're separated from your conscience, what you know of as a guilty conscience, if you're separated from that, then you're a slave of other people. You're a slave of your environment. You're a slave of people, places, and things, whether you want to be or not. And you really are a slave. And as I said, it's quite burdensome. It's quite a burden. So if you can actually eliminate the resentment, and it usually starts with parents. Your parents are the first people that are you usually come into contact with, and those people are the ones that usually fail you one way or another. Your parents fail you, and besides that, even if you had perfect parents, which that's pretty rare that you would have perfect parents, but let's say you did, you would probably figure out a reason to resent anyway, because we come into this world with a proclivity to want to play God. And resentment is the way we play God as human beings. It's how we play God in our own minds, as if we could just hurl with our thoughts, we could just hurl the mental thunderbolts and strike people, places, and things dead out of existence. So, you know, that's about the best description I've ever been able to come up with as far as understanding what resentment is. You know, I can talk about, you know, a lot of times you might hear me talk about being angry and, you know, other synonyms along the lines of anger. It kind of, in line with resentment, but resentment is sort of its own little thing, and I'm not even sure it's an emotion necessarily, but it's but you can also think of it as sort of the wrong side of the ego puffing up, like some kind of a cobra, how a cobra snake sort of puffs up when it's trying to scare its enemies. So if you can actually get rid of the resentment, then, and allow your conscience to catch up with you, because your conscience is always trying to catch up. That's why you feel guilty. It's always there trying to correct you, trying to catch up. But if you can ever actually allow it to catch up with you and then make friends with it on top of that, you really are a complete creature as far as a complete human being. Then you're able to move forward, and the burden is gone. And like I say, that doesn't mean that you're suddenly perfect, or you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that everything's just going to get easy, but what does get easy is that there's no burden about it. You know, I still work, and I absolutely enjoy my work, and there's a lot of people that do the same job that I do, kind of using myself as an example, that think that that's just a horrible job, terrible burden, and it's actually super easy. Because the burden part of it's gone. I'm able to just do the job and most of the time just really kind of enjoy the job and enjoy doing it. So it really, unifying with conscience really results in a complete change in attitude. Just a radical change in attitude. 180 degrees. But, if you're one of these people that is kind of put off by religion and put off by talking, the religious language, and I'm not big into religious language. I'll use it sometimes, but I kind of cringe when I see the way some people use it, and what they're doing, they're sort of using the religious language is a sort of way of identifying themselves. It's kind of like, let's say, like any group of people, they're going to use certain words to sort of identify themselves as part of the group. And so religious people are no different. They'll begin to use those words, to certain words, and it kind of depends on the group too, how cliquish they are or clannish they are. But they'll begin to use religiosity type language and terms, and they think they know what they're talking about, but I don't really think they know. I think that they probably don't have a clue what the reality is. Because the reality is very, in this case, the reality is quite different than what we think. There is a creator of, we were brought into existence. But how did that happen? Well, don't know. One thing I can say that we can all agree on, we're here as a result of biological activity. I guarantee you 100%. I am here. I exist as a result of the successful biological activity of every single one of my ancestors. And I think that's absolutely true of every human being that's alive. Now, how did it happen? We don't know. We'll never know. I don't think we'll ever know. But we're here. You know, we love to put creation and the creator into a box. We love to put things into boxes and think that we know how this works and we know how that works. And that goes back to the way the brain works, because the world is enormously complicated. The world is way, way, way too complicated for us to even, you know, there's no way we could ever keep track of all the details. So what the brain does, it creates models of the world. This is true just in general, the way you think about the world. And it's also true of the visual system, you know, the way we actually see the world. The brain prioritizes things based on, basically, it's based on a value system. Even visually, if you've ever had the experience, you buy a car or whatever, and then you all of a sudden you start seeing a bunch of the other ones, it's because all of a sudden you're sort of sensitized to that particular model of car, and then you begin to see them everywhere. And so the same thing is true with other things. We have to be able to, the brain recognizes patterns, it recognizes, you know, and it sort of makes a model of the world around us. And I think it can be a fairly accurate model, but it has to come up with working models. Same way with, other things that, you know, anything that you can think of that has to do with interacting with other people, interacting with the world, interacting socially, we come up with models of how the world works, and then they're functional models, but you don't have to know all the details. If you pull up to an intersection, you know, most people that have pulled up to an intersection, and you look one way and you look the other way. And then all of a sudden, this car, you know, comes zooming by. It's just as you're about to take off, and you think, "Boy, that car came out of nowhere." Well, no, it didn't. You just didn't see it. Even though you looked, you didn't see it. Same thing can happen if you've lost something in your. Let's say you've lost something in your house and you've misplaced it, and you get upset about it. And you run all around looking for whatever it is, and you don't see it. Well, it's there the whole time. It didn't disappear. It's been there the entire time. But as long as you're upset, you're just not going to probably not going to see it. And once you've calmed down, then all of a sudden, oh, there it was, all along. So we work on basically off of models of the world. And so, you know, we really don't, you know, we really do rely on these models. And, you know, but the, so we don't, we like to think that we know everything, and we really don't. You know, we're lucky if we know 0.5% of all the things there are to be known, and probably not even that much. You know, we live in we find ourselves here together on this earth in the middle of an unbelievably, unimaginably large universe, and it's all kind of a mystery. You know, why is this all here? Why are we here? You know, why do we exist? Why are we conscious? Are we conscious in the right way? And I believe as long as you're separated from your conscience, you're not conscious in the right way. So, But you can, if you, you know, if you're put off by the word God and you're put off by the religiosity and the hypocrisy, you know, because there's a lot of people that are into the religiosity and the religious language, and it's pretty clear they're kind of hypocritical, you know, and that's human beings. But you can think of it, you know, if you don't want to believe there's, you know, believe there's a creator, then just there is a conscience. You can believe in your conscience. You really can believe in your conscience. You know that that exists. You know what that is. You're intimately familiar with your conscience. Make friends with it. That's really what I'm talking about. Make friends with your conscience. And the way you, the path to that is to get rid of the resentment. You know, and you can start by asking yourself this question: Do I have resentment? Do I hate my parents? Because that's usually where it starts. You hate your parents, and oftentimes it's really difficult to admit that you hate, that you really hate your parents. You know, you buried in there, because resentment comes packaged with its own denial mechanisms. Buried in there somewhere in your psyche, you just despise your parents because you think they did you wrong, and you know, for whatever reason, and you resent them. That's usually where it starts, and then it starts. It's like a snowball going down the hill. It gathers up more and more and more, and then before too long, you find everything is so upsetting you can't even leave your house anymore. And there are people that actually happens to. They become so sensitive that they can't even leave their house, because everything becomes a trigger. So you have to begin by giving up resentment. Then, you know, the idea with giving up resentment, then make friends with your conscience. And that's really what I'm talking about. Really be able to make friends with your conscience. That makes all the difference. And it really, at that point, if you can actually be friends with your conscience, and your conscience, you sort of sort of reintegrates, and then you're a complete human being because you're fully integrated with your conscience, you're a different creature. And it may be useful to kind of think about God and believe in God or know there's a God, which there's a big difference between believing and knowing. You know, but I do believe that that's one way you can, I can say this, that's one way you can know for sure if there's a God or not. Make friends with your conscience. Get rid of the resentment. Make friends with your conscience. And then kind of see what happens. But you don't even have to use the religious language to do it. But, you know, so. But anyway, I think I'm going to bring this to an end for today. We've been going how long? Oh, 43 minutes. So I need to kind of get myself around and here in a few minutes and get headed over to my aunt's house. So this is probably going to take me about 30 minutes to drive over there. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.